So good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to see you here. So the first part of this local chapters track, we're going to just be giving an overview of the local chapters program, the local chapters campaign, and that will be shared by myself and Dana, who I think you've probably seen around the conference already. She's our local chapters coordinator. And after each of us kind of give some introductory remarks about the chapters and the campaign, then we'll open it for questions. And then the second section of this track is going to be a panel presentation by various chapter leaders across the country that have done some interesting things. And then the third part will be a planning workshop for people that are actually interested in starting a new chapter or perhaps brainstorming about ideas for their existing chapter. So again, I think by now you probably know who I am, Leslie Wickman, Executive Director of the ASA. And I'm not sure why we have that slide up right now, but anyway, so I'll just speak a little bit from my own experience. When I first joined the ASA back in about 2000, and went to one of my very first ASA meetings, I came back from that meeting just so excited because of the opportunity to have fellowship with like-minded people, like-minded Christians who were interested in discussing these big questions involving science and faith. And I just thought, you know, one time a year is not enough for me to do this. And so we got some people together from the Southern California region who had been meeting together periodically under a different title, actually. Southern California?
CCCCS.
A bunch of C's, exactly. Southern California Christian Colleges and Universities, or something like that. So we decided to get that group together and turn it into an ASA chapter. And so that's been really cool. We have people from Cal Baptist, Westmont, Azusa Pacific. Occasionally we get people from Fresno Pacific, Biola. I'm trying to think of some of the other.
Fuller.
Sorry?
I came once.
You did, that's right. Canadians, the random Canadian. From universities, at Point Loma also. And so kind of spread from Santa Barbara and San Diego to Greater LA to Fresno to Riverside, so kind of all over Southern California. And it can be kind of a challenging region if any of you are from LA or know the area. The traffic is not ideal for traveling between these various places. So one of the things we ended up doing was committing to what we call an annual winter day conference, and you'll be hearing more about that from the panel. But so we meet once a year, somewhere between January and April, at one of the universities that's more or less centrally located within that region. And it's kind of a miniature version of the ASA annual meeting. And so that was kind of our impetus for getting something started in Southern California in a meaningful way. And other chapters do different things. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of arrangement. But the vision really is to multiply these chapters in the local areas to give people opportunities to meet and fellowship on science and faith topics throughout the year and with their own communities, whether that's your church community or campus community, just a bunch of friends. Everybody does it slightly differently, but it does enable you to kind of connect with fellow believers on an ongoing basis. So, like I say, you might have heard me say this already, but a few years ago, I think we started with around 8 U.S. chapters and 3 in Canada, and we're now up to a total of 35 across the U.S. and Canada. So it's really taken off, and we're really excited about it and eager to start some more. So with that, I think I'll hand it over to Dana for a few minutes, and then the two of us will take any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. I have had the opportunity to meet many of you, either here at this meeting, or I have reached out by phone to chapter leaders, but I see some new faces, so that's wonderful. To give you a little bit of background on who I am, I work in Ohio for a statewide nonprofit, and I do administrative work. So I do a lot of membership development. And one of the things that we have focused on is student development, doing networking events at our workshops to get people involved who are going to be early in their career because they are our future advocates. And also it helps them professionally to understand what the water resources profession is like and who the key people are for getting a job. So this really is near and dear to my heart, is to reach out to the young people. And for those of you who know my personal story of having that conflict of science and faith when I was a young college student, this has always been really important to me since I became a believer to reach out to the students. So providing the support for the local chapters has both a professional and a very personal mission for me. So this is what we're here for. Like Leslie mentioned, we have had a number of chapters that have formed over the last few years, and I have met three people here at this conference who want to, and I have the business cards, and they want to create a chapter. I'm hoping that we can do that even today with some planning. And so, welcome, and I hope that you learn something both from Leslie and myself, as well as the panelists that we're going to be bringing up. The panelists provide a wide range of expertise in holding a chapter, from those that are very active to some that are just getting started. So I think that that breadth of knowledge will be very helpful for you. And one of the things that I have done in Ohio is to bring on a chapter. So there's the own challenges that I have that I am available to share as well. Because we have three leaders in fact, is Ron here? Where did I saw him earlier? There he is. Ron is a co-president with me in the Ohio chapter. And what we struggle with in Ohio is we don't have a leader at a university. So really finding the venue, finding the speaker, and finding the audience has been a challenge. But I think the networking here at this meeting will help. So I think we can open it up now.
Actually, can you talk just a little bit about the handbook?
Oh, yes, yeah. The handbook. So for those of you that are not aware, we do have a chapter handbook that puts everything into print of what you need to know to be a chapter. It's a nice reference document. We just updated it recently with some information about how to handle at a on-site meeting, how to handle registration or people coming in. It has all of the applications that you need, the statement of faith, what it takes, the requirements for being a chapter, and the protocol. So it's really the SOP for being a chapter.
And it is available online.
Right. Yeah. And do we have more printed copies? Or is this
We did have printed copies.
And
as you heard me say,
my keys
in
your
cart.
Just give me a big break.
But there is a link online.
Yeah.
I'll pass this around.
Yeah.
Peruse it.
Is that online? Is that
it's
the version that's online now?
Yeah. I don't know that Chelsea's been on quite yet, but yeah.
So, first of all, I just want to open the floor for questions. If you have any questions about the local chapters or any specific details, and if there aren't any questions that come to mind right away, one thing I might want to do is just kind of go around. There are a handful of people that are going to be on the panel in a few minutes, but there are a few people that could actually speak from their own experience in chapters that are not necessarily on the panel, so we might give them an opportunity to say a few words too. I don't want to point you out, but if you have something that you'd like to share, I'm kind of making eye contact with a few people that
right here.
Might want to say something. So,
not pointing.
So before I start naming names, I'd love to see a raised hand. Mike,
So I won't say much because you will hear from two of my chapter mates. I'll just kind of generally say it's been great, and I moved into a region that had an active local chapter, and it was very helpful for me to get integrated into the region. So I don't think either of the other two people here from my chapter would kind of give that perspective, because they both started the section, started the chapter. I think it's been really helpful for me personally, and then I've gotten involved in leadership in the chapter as well.
Yeah, so we keep talking about fellowship, but the networking thing is good too, actually. And probably gets overlooked a bit. Charles.
I'm in a different position in that I drank the Kool-Aid and we started a chapter last December. And it's actually, there's a lot of enthusiasm about getting things going, but we still don't have, for example, all the elements in place. We have officers and we have people to say, let's do this and let's do that. At the moment, we've got people from Chico State, Sac State, UC Davis, Sonoma State, and one lone person from Livermore Lab. And so we're trying to find out more who's in our region, because my attitude is if you live within spitting distance of us, you're a de facto member of our chapter. So, and our objective is not as much to have sort of a miniature version of the annual meeting. It's more to sponsor bringing people in to give presentations and to reach out to students, because almost everybody involved is involved with the university. And the students, at least my university, predominantly, I guess the general way to say it would be they're seekers. They are not believers, and they have a lot of arguments that I think the ASA answers.
Yeah.
And so by bringing in speakers, we're trying to get Buzz Rana to come up and talk at Davis, and a bunch of other people like that that you know, can bring up some challenging topics and the students will come.
Yeah.
So we're, that's our objective right at the moment. So
yeah, terrific.
I need to talk to you too.
Yeah, I was going to say that really is what my function. I think it was a vision when Leslie and Vicki brought me on, was to be that point person for the chapters, to provide some of that support. So it might be ideas for speakers, or if you're struggling on an aspect of putting the chapter in place, even the website. Although I'm not, Randy would be the person to go to on the website, I'm learning. But yeah, how do you get that website up and running?
Actually, we had no trouble finding speakers.
That's great, that's great.
No, we've got people that say, oh, I'll come to campus and rally your occasion.
Arnold, can you share a little bit about
So I'm the Vancouver local contact. We've had a chapter since about 2005, although it's formalized with the ASA, I don't know, maybe about 6 years ago. And then I guess Mark McEwen and I helped sort of spur the development of 8 new chapters across Canada. But I'll just say a little bit about our Vancouver chapter, what we do. So we have events at Trinity Western University, as well as at Regent College and Simon Fraser University. So those are public undergraduate institution, seminary, and Christian University, as well as sometimes at a sort of a community college, BCIT. And what we sometimes do is just, if we notice a science of faith event happening at one of those places, then we promote that among our CSCA members and followers networks. So what we always do is we produce a Facebook page, which is on the CSCA Facebook page, the Facebook event page, and if people invite their friends, it becomes sort of viral, it lives in its own, you know, advertising space that way. And then we try to usually, if there's already a science of faith organized that region, then we try to get that speaker to maybe go and also go to Simon Fraser or Trinity Western, and we set up opportunities for students to meet them over a meal. Sometimes we have a bit of a presence at these meetings as well, so we'll say a few words at the beginning or end, or have a little table, exhibit table in the back of the room or in the hallway. So we're kind of eclectic, I think, in terms of what we do with the Vancouver chapter. But we also have different things happening in many different chapters. One of the ideas that some of our chapters have done in Canada is just even replay the plenary lectures from the ASA meeting. Just, it's a really low, you know, no organization required at all. Just make sure you have good access to the YouTube video and you know, maybe provide some snacks and play that video, and then have maybe a local person respond in some way to that. Well, we've also done film and panel nights. We find a science and faith related film, and we'll have you know, 2 or 3 faculty members from a Christian or public university or both, and have their responses, and then Q&A from the audience.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh yeah, we have the Naperville chapter, which actually meets on this campus, and Rod Scott and Ray Lewis sort of run this, but we have developed it entirely with speakers. invite speakers, as you suggested, we have no trouble getting speakers. But we advertised from Minneapolis all the way through Michigan. And we had, for instance, Bethel University sent a van with nine students recently. Iowa, Indiana, we get people that come in to these lectures. So we put it on the website and verbally announce in advance what the next speaker is going to do. It's worked out really, really well for us. And we have a way to pay for the speakers as well. We have a wooden box that's got a slit in it. And anybody that wants to put some money in, they slide it in. And at the end of the lecture, we look and see sort of how much we can pay the speaker. It actually works. And so it's kind of fun. But it's great because some of the faculty actually require that their students attend a particular lecture.
Yeah.
And so we hold it in the lecture hall down here that has been occasionally filled. And otherwise, it's about half full.
Fantastic.
I was just going to have Dot talk about the student memberships that you give away, too.
Yeah.
I think that.
I was chair of biology for many years, and I asked alumni to contribute to the department, and then we used that money to buy student memberships for the ASA when they graduated. So we paid for the first year of membership for the ASA, and a few of those stuck.
Yeah.
You know, you have been renewed, but it's always a question how to get students to sign up and be a part of ASA. So that was one strategy that we've used in the past.
And that's a student membership at that time?
Yes.
So it's cheaper?
It is.
Yeah.
We buy it just before they graduate. We give a list, or did give a list, and paid for that. And then that was a graduation gift from us.
Sweet.
But it actually was paid for by alumni of the department. We wanted to be sure that the students have an option to be a part of it. So.
Mark had his hand up for a question.
I was curious from a few of you, how often would you be having these events? Are these like quarterly or just on a, as somebody's coming through basis? How frequently are these chapters meeting in general?
Everybody's different. So I don't know how often
it's
you're.
It's all of the above. We do at least two a semester, sometimes three. We also have a couple of endowed chairs. For instance, we have a McIntyre chair here in physics. It's a history and philosophy of science chair. So sometimes we'll put the money, some money from that endowment along with and advertise it as an McIntyre and ASA event. And we don't have, we pass the box, but we just keep the money for another lecture because the endowment's being the speaker.
Julie, would you be willing to talk a little bit about the chapter that you guys are?
Yeah, so I'm at Colorado Christian University. I'm an assistant professor there. And we just started our student chapter really in like December, January. And so we had events throughout the spring. Our first event was just a meet and greet. We offered food because that's what college students respond to. And then came and we got email addresses. And it was just kind of a short information meeting. I kind of spoke about the mission of the ASA and what it is and some of the events that we had ideas for. And then our second event, we piggybacked onto the Rocky Mountain ASA that Lynn had planned, which was a video lecture. It was Catherine Hayhoe's plenary lecture followed by a Skype live Q&A.
Nice.
She Skyped in and
nice.
Lynn organized
great
all
idea.
Of that.
Nice.
Faculty promoted it and there were 40 students there.
No, there were more
students. The room, the lecture hall was packed with students.
Yeah, it was about 50.
Some extra credit might have been incentivized, but I, in one of my courses, in my non-science majors course, incentivized with some extra credit because we were talking about weather, so it worked. And some of the responses that they wrote were really incredible. It got the students thinking about things that they would not have thought about.
That's
it was
great.
Very impactful.
Yeah.
And then we had one more. We had a live speaker, a live person. Opposed to a non-live person. We had a speaker from the Rocky Mountain ASA, a scientist, come and address the students, and she took them down the road on a field trip. Angela Cantwell is a fish
right.
biologist, so she took them to an aquarium
wow.
at 9 o'clock
that's
at night.
Really cool.
And that's where we left off the semester.
Awesome.
But it was a good start. It wasn't
yeah.
too many events, and we got a lot of emails. Our trouble is currently getting students to actually sign up as student members, because I checked and our membership's relatively low, even though the events are very popular.
Yeah.
But we were talking about maybe incentivizing with a teacher.
Well, also, yeah, Dana, the new sign-in method may help with that too, right?
We give them a gratis, well, they're free anyway, but we can give them a gratis membership. Yeah, it's, and that's typical though.
Yeah.
Students, they just have so many competing interests.
Well, and my student leader, in order to promote like, you know, a feeling of belonging to the student ASA, wants to do these t-shirts.
Right.
And so we'll have CCU student ASA t-shirts that when you're a member, I can check them and you come to my office and get your t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then you can wear them around campus, I mean, just, the students really want to do that.
Identity, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of our plans for moving forward.
Did you say you give them a membership? You point them to a place where they can sign themselves up, is that?
Well, students are gratis.
Yeah, but they still have to sign themselves up.
Yes, yes.
And it's free, so.
If they come to an event and we have their email, we add them as a member into directly, and we send them, that's one of my functions.
So they're automatically a member when they.
They become a member, and I facilitate that, yeah.
Because I thought to become a member, you have to sign the statement of faith, isn't that the requirement of being a member?
Right, and then there's follow-up to make sure that that happens, yeah.
Okay, so you sort of fast-track it into the category.
Right, right, and then we're in contact with them, yeah.
But that's a really neat example, Julie, what you're talking about in terms of collaboration between a student chapter and a regular chapter.
It's been extremely helpful.
Yeah, and we have a number of places around the country that have both regular chapters, like in Boston, for example. We have a Boston chapter, and then we have a student chapter at Gordon College in Southern California. We have the Southern California chapter, but then we also have a chapter at Cal Baptist. And there are other places that are starting to do the same thing. So collaborating between the regular chapter and student chapters is a really great idea. So I know we don't have much time left, but are there any questions, first of all? Yeah, Bob.
Kind of, I know I could have asked you guys this question anytime, but it just came to mind once again. Does the ASA allow donations to the ASA to be designated to local chapters?
Yes.
And does that money stay within the ASA, or do you just transfer that money over to?
It's been done both ways. We in the office can maintain an account for a chapter, but we've also had cases for example, when I was at Azusa Pacific, we had some money that came in from one of the annual conferences that we kept locally. But so it can be done both ways.
So when a chapter is started, we give a $1,000 credit to your chapter account, and we manage all the chapter accounts at the home office in Boston. So $1,000 automatically gets credited, and then as you incur expenses for honorariums, pizza, whatever it might be, what you would do is submit it back to us at the home office, and we would reimburse you and then keep an accounting of your chapter account so that we could let you know at any point in time how much you have in the account. And then, I think, Mark, I was telling you this the other night when we were chatting. The other incentive that we offer is for every 6 new adult memberships, the $85 ones, we would give a credit of $500 into your account as well. So those are two financial
really
resources
good,
that we provide.
Exactly. So one of the things that I would love to do to try to capture some of what we've talked about here today is, if you have an idea that's worked well for your chapter, if you could write it on the blackboard. I don't know if we have any chalk. I guess it should. We do have chalk. Write it on the blackboard, or actually even better yet, the whiteboard. We've got some markers, although access to this. Let's use the chalkboard because it's easier to access. But if you could write ideas that have worked well for your chapter on the board, and then we can take some pictures of that. That would be awesome. And so feel free, anytime you want to come up here. We've got more.
We're going to have the panelists come up anyway, so we'll have a little bit of a moving about.
Any other questions or comments anybody has?
What is the process for starting the chapter?
We actually have and chapter handbook and chapter application forms, planning forms. And we'll actually be addressing that, and you can stick around for the latter part of this session. We're going to have a panel come forward first and give some ideas and whatnot. And then the third part of this session is a planning workshop. So,
and if not, I have your business card.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
And again, the chapter handbook is available online, and that's got the application forms in it. Okay, so any other questions? Otherwise, we'll have the panel go ahead and come up. And again, if you have an idea you want to put on the board, please do so.
Yeah, can I just ask one final one? Dana, there's a lot of really good stuff here. Are the Canadian chapters, they see themselves as ASA chapters, so are they treated the same way? Let me just ask that.
Yeah, their website is through a different server.
Yes.
But beyond that, they are an ASA chapter.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that was my understanding.
Yeah, very much so. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started. We'll just go in order of the slides. So Mike, if you'd like to talk a little bit about your chapter in DC, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. That's right.
Okay.
I'm Mike Beidler. Just a little bit about me. 22 years Navy. I retired about 5 years ago. Worked in various industries after that. Lockheed Martin, Department of the Navy, and now for the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. I'm the president of the DC chapter, and as you can see, we've got an MS, so you don't have to have a PhD to run one of the chapters. But I do have the illustrious Seigart, who has a new book coming out this fall, Prequel Publications, on his journey from atheism to faith. He's my solid right hand, and Keith Furman, our secretary, who's not able to be here this year. But the three of us have been officers of the DC chapter since 2014, so we're going on our sixth year now leading the group. And our chapter is in a very unique position geographically, right there in the center of everything, probably even more so recently. But we've got a lot of professional scientists in the region that we can tap into, folks that work at NASA. Jennifer Wiseman is one of our members. Francis Collins is one of our members. NIST, U.S. Patent Office, Department of Defense. We got public universities out there. And we also have inquisitive churchgoers from all sides of both the political and the theological spectrum. But one thing I noticed about our chapter is that we've got a few college students, not a lot of youth. And every once in a while, we'll get a draw from one of the local churches. It depends on who we bring in, but a few young professionals, and that's kind of the hardest nut to crack. And so I would say our demographic, our membership of the chapter is probably, they were born before 1980. So probably 40 and older is our typical draw. We meet quarterly, three times a year. Bring in a speaker, and we started instituting this a couple years ago. I guess this will be our third or maybe even fourth year of an annual fall social. No agenda. I take books off my shelves and in my library, and I just spread them over the table, and we bring people in, have a barbecue and a potluck, and get to know each other as people, as Christians, as fellow believers, and we kind of leave a lot of the more technical stuff behind. And it's been a real success in not just getting to know each other and fellowship, as part of the body of Christ, but we get folks that aren't unfamiliar, because I'll reach out to a whole other contact list that I've developed over the last 5 years and bring them in as well, so they can interact with these scientists and You know, I see them taking pictures of pages in books and, you know, posting them on social media, these wonderful things that they've discovered. And we've gotten a number of members joining that way. So three times a year seems to work out pretty well for us in the annual fall social. Well, it's a whole other different level of stress for me because it's at my house. It does give me a little breather. As far as notable meetings go, we've had Randy Isaac. We've had a religion philosopher, Roy Clouser, on a couple of occasions. Stephen Freeland, who is an astrobiologist. I got a fantastic story about one of his meetings in the flyer there. Father Jacek Korczakowski, he was a Catholic priest who was probably the Vatican's top creation care advocate. Mm. So when the Pope's encyclical came out a couple of years ago, I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to assign that to the group. We're going to bring in one of the Vatican representatives to facilitate a conversation. And it kind of went sideways a little bit, but because of the political climate, no pun intended. But it was memorable. I'll give you that. It was memorable. Paul Julien, he recently retired from NIST. He's a physicist. He's written for BioLogos. And Michael Summers is a planetologist at George Mason University, and I had dinner with him, and he wanted to know more about the ASA.
Cool.
And he goes to my church. He recalls investigating the ASA in the 70s, and he says, you know, they just wasn't robust enough. And I said, you know, you need to give it another shot. And so we brought him in, and he just got energized, and
awesome.
He became a member. Bethany Solerator, who was at the BioLogos conference earlier in March, and she just decided to tack on an extra day to her trip and do the ASA meeting. And then Harvard Medical School's Personal Genetics Education Program, PGED, brought one of their representatives in. She's not only a geneticist, but also a Christian. And brought her down to talk about the implications to society and faith.
Awesome.
Using CRISPR and gene editing. I didn't expect to get someone of that caliber, but you know, BioLogos, God bless them, was kind of watching out for me when I became unemployed by choice, by the way, last fall. They said, you know what, might need something to do. So I did some consulting with the Personal Genetics Education Group to talk about inroads to different parts of American society that they may not be able to reach. We're talking about the Islamic communities, Jewish communities, and conservative evangelical communities that may need to have a better understanding of this. And that relationship allowed me to be able to invite them down to the ASA meeting. And she is now investigating becoming an ASA member herself. So. There's a lot of different intersections here that are able to give us some fodder for those meetings. On the successes and the challenges, we've increased our attendance quite a bit from maybe 5-10 people at a time to over 50 at one point with Paul Julien, who had an awesome presentation that my camera failed to capture, unfortunately. So. And that required us to leave the Cosmos Club, which is in the heart of DC, which we were busting the fire code on a number of occasions. So we had to look elsewhere. And we've had a challenge of trying to find something that's free.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest challenges. And something that's also central, because you got Maryland and Northern Virginia and DC, and it's a small geographic area. It's really hard to get around with the Beltway. But one of the challenges is, although we've increase attendance, it just hasn't matched up with the numbers of memberships.
Mm.
And every meeting, I don't care who's in the audience, whether they're all members or not, I still give a plug for membership.
Well, this new sign-in strategy should help you guys out too, actually.
The intent is to give them a free year membership, and then maybe they'll sign up next year. Continue.
Is that retroactive for?
No.
Okay, so. Just to sum everything up, the advice that I've got for newly formed chapters is in the flyer. And so there's just a litany of different techniques and lessons learned.
Awesome. Terrific. Well, I hate to rush this, but we are going to run out of time, so we need to keep moving along here. So, Tom, would you talk about the Southern California Christian
Association? Yeah, so Leslie's already mentioned quite a bit about our Southern California overall chapter. I know we also, Kathleen's going to talk a little about the Azusa's chapter. We are in the process of starting one at Cal Baptist, where Leslie and I both are in faculty. But the mother chapter, I guess, the overall one, is one started in 2009. It actually came out of the Baylor meeting. It's kind of like a group of us who were attending the Baylor, mostly first-time attendees, I think, decided, well, let's start a local chapter. And we got together at one of the guys' houses. He's in the film industry, Steve Blake, and right. He was only at that one meeting, but he was the one who actually was the one who was behind that. So one thing I encourage you to do, if you're thinking about this, if you don't have a local chapter, is find one or two other people who are here, and then have lunch, dinner, and then commit to getting together one time, and then see if you can start something. That's how we started. We had, I think, about 10 or 15 of us who were at that meeting, the Baylor meeting, and all got together at his house, and here we are. So we started in 2009. One thing we have not had is official, like, officer positions. I think we may have initially, but over the last several years, it's been mostly myself, Michael Everest, and Steve Katakis are both at Westmont College. Sarah is joining us this coming year on a steering committee. So we do more or less like a steering committee where I've been like the most reluctant leader of that ever since we started. But we still have an overall steering committee, assigned different tasks as we do our winter day conference. As Leslie mentioned, one of our only activity we do right now is a one-day Saturday, all-day winter day conference, somewhere between January and April, and it has a large part to do on who's hosting it, what availability they have. If there's somebody in the area who wants to be the keynote speaker, we set around their schedule, so that's why we keep a large window open for that. So some of the weaknesses of others are actually strengths of us. We have a lot of students who will attend that because we'll have it at one of our Christian colleges. We don't have to pay for the space. Usually that is donated by the college, so we end up partnering with maybe a science and faith club or partnering with a department, and we use a conference room. That was at Cal Baptist. We held two of them there. We bounce around at different colleges, so we held the first, I think, three at Azusa Pacific, and then we went to Fuller Seminary for one meeting, and then we went to Cal Baptist for two, and then to Westmont for one. And we do those, basically like Leslie said, a mini version of what we're doing here. So we have a keynote, a couple of, we run parallel sessions. This past year we had fewer talks, so we just ran a day of consecutive short sessions, and then had panel discussions. We have posters, and that gives students who are doing research in an area to present their research. The other thing that we often will promote this with the day conference model is most of our faculty at the Christian colleges, you know, the expectation for research and scholarship is there, but it's not as high as at a research university. So sometimes just giving them an opportunity to present at this, because it is a regional conference of a national organization, it actually looks good for them to present a talk at this winter day conference. So it's a way of getting people to present, maybe who wouldn't feel comfortable presenting at the ASA National, or even some people who are going to present here, an opportunity to try out an idea, a little less less stakes there. What hasn't worked for us is doing what Washington is doing and trying to meet quarterly, because we did that the first couple of years and we found it was just, you know, you get through one meeting and you're planning for the next one and it just was overly burdensome. And then getting around Los Angeles on a Friday night or even a Saturday morning is really difficult. So what we found is we would have those meetings and, you know, some of them had like five attendees. Depends on who we brought in. Sometimes there would be like 50, but for this, we're pretty consistent, about 70, 75 people come. About half of them are students, and then this is an opportunity to transition students. Mm-hmm. So,
excellent. Thank you. Yep. So, Colleen, you're up.
Hey, I'm from Azusa Pacific University. So I'm actually, this is not about a chapter meeting, but a conference that we held. The ASA was one of our supporters, and they helped, and Leslie spoke at it. And first of all, the symbol on our came from the Holy Spirit orchid, which before looked like monks praying, and afterwards looks like a dove. So that's where we got our symbol from for the whole thing. Yeah, it's interesting, so I put that in. But so we held this at the end of May, because that's when we were out of school. Usually our graduation is the first Saturday in May. And I had just anecdotally talked to some pastors, and they said, yes, we need So we were really looking for clergy. We didn't get a very good turnout. That was one of the problems. There was a whole bunch of just denominational meetings that last week and things that I didn't anticipate. There were some other issues that were going on, but so we didn't get a big turnout. But what we did get a turnout from was also some high school, Christian high school teachers, which we hadn't anticipated, who got tons out of this. So that's another whole audience that you guys should be thinking about. And so we had our department, which was putting it on because I was coordinating it, and all of the speakers were from our department, so our chemist and our biologist that spoke at it. We had also, we have this research and science. Leslie used to be the director of that, now Louise Wong is the director of that. So she helped coordinate as far as giving me ideas of how to run the conference and things like that. And then we have America's Christian Credit Union that does a lot with APU, so I contacted them. So they were able to give us like folders and pens and notepads because I had zero budget for this conference. So that's what we were working with. So all of our presenters volunteered their time eagerly, which was really amazing. So we had a chemist talk about how the second law of thermodynamics is used inappropriately against evolution. I mean, she brought it to everybody's level, hand motions and everything else, which I think is the benefit of most all of us were undergrad professors, so you know how to bring it down. We had bioengineering, we had gender identity. Sarah Richard talked about plastics in the environment. We had climate change. We had micro versus macro evolution. We had, I mean, there was like 11 different presentations. All of them were 30 minutes long like this with 20, 25 minutes of speaking and 5 to 10 minutes of questions. So they got jam-packed through the day, 11 presentations. We had very short meetings, and then we had lunch, just a small box lunch where all the presenters, even if they hadn't presented yet, with the participants so we could interact throughout the whole thing. So it was really amazing. Like I said, no budget, small audience, but the people were there were like, yes, we need to do this. So what came out of that we learned? One, we also have these Christian high schools that we could be doing. But you might not be able to do a full conference like this in a day, but you might be able to set up going someplace, a church or a Christian high school teachers or whatever. Maybe they have somebody once a month or once a quarter or something. So you're reaching out into the community, doing what they need with these different topics throughout the year, and you don't actually have to put on a full one-day conference. But we felt like the one day, from the feedback we got, that was probably about the right length. So we started about 8:30 in the morning, and we ended a little bit about 3:30 in the day. And it was on a Thursday, so traffic, it was a good time to get out a little bit before the bad traffic came about. But it just, we got just high regards from everybody. And as I watched the room throughout the day, nobody was vegging out. Everybody was on the edge of their seats and looking forward and just eating it up. It was just really, really phenomenal. And the presenters were just phenomenal too. And I was just so impressed with all my colleagues being able to see them all teach, you know, and you don't often get an opportunity to see that. And so just both ways, it just really was a big hit. So.
It's also a great example of what you can do with essentially no budget, right? It really was impressive. Okay, so we have one more.
I'm sorry, how often do you do it?
This was the very first time we've ever done it. And the next day they said, are you going to do it again? I said, ask me in 2 weeks. Everybody immediately was saying, we want to do this again, like from our school, you know.
Spend a different amount of time on each one, so better for you to.
Okay, so I am Dean, and just like the Azusa, we also did a conference, but we also started a local student chapter, and I am the vice president as of this year. I was secretary last year, and actually, so the one thing we did was we have these events called the Veritas Forum, so we just followed up our conference after the Veritas Forum, and the two speakers, as you can see, Philip Kurian and Georgia Dunkson, both from Howard University, we also invited them to speak in the CoFast. Conference on Faith and Science the next day. So this is the poster card for the first one, the Veritas Forum, and then this is our one for the CoFast, Conference on Faith and Science, and as you can see, we did go pretty wild and invited a lot of people. Two people, as you can see, one is Stephen Barr, who is Catholic, and also we have Paul Gaber, who is Vice Director of the Vatican Observatory. So we did try, because it was based on faith and science, we decided to like include everyone, and it went in our favor because they saw Stephen Barr was coming. They get the Catholic team on campus. They have like a huge parking lot. They gave it for us for free parking for the event. So it was, many people didn't have to pay for parking. So that was.
Worthington, what did he speak on?
I didn't actually, well, he did like.
He was receiving an award actually. And so they had him give just kind of a brief overview of his kind of personal experience.
On forgiveness.
Yeah.
He does forgiveness literature.
Yeah, as I recall that.
Okay, and of course Leslie was there, and Don Page also worked with Stephen Hawking, was there. Oh no, this is the, okay, 1 second. And then I'm gonna show you some pictures of the conference. In total, we had 250 people per day, but actually throughout the three or including the Veritas Forum and COFES, we had about like 250 people, and probably some people who didn't register. So the photos are so bad, and that's why I upgraded my phone, because I realized I gotta get a good photo. Yeah, look at the pixel, it's just, ooh. So we did a couple of these ones where we just did Q&A, so we'd have them stand on the, or sit on the stage, and just people would ask them questions after the tracks, so we would do the tracks, and people would attend, and then we'd do like a quick summary, so most people who went on different tracks could also hear a little parts of it, and then we would do Q&As. That went pretty nice. And then we had people pray for them before the events, and then we had some worship as well, you can see by the guitar there. As you can see, the person on my right is obviously a sister. The person on my left is a pastor, a local pastor, and they were just having these debates, and it was, this is one of the tracks on theology, I think. And then as you can see, this is our local professor talking. And so it was mainly like, but it was for students. We hoped for students to meet with the professors, but not a lot of students came. And that was, but now we're trying to do Passport. We have something called Passport in our university where like clubs introduce themselves to students. So this one, this time around, we're gonna actually push that really well, a lot.
And if I can interject, even though he says there were not a lot of students, I mean, relative to some of the other events I've been at, there were actually quite a number. Probably, I would say maybe 20% of the audience was students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like 65,000 kids go to the main campus. So,
But for the but for the first time out, to get an attendance of 250 was really quite great.
Yeah, we were so blessed. And so this is another, this is the, I think, the physics. And as you can see, Philip Kurian is doing a track. So these are just the separate tracks. We were just taking some photos to for memory. These are actually people from industry who were ASU alumni that came and they talked in about their career and how it helped them. And also just to meet with the professors. And I got to meet with many of them in, like, internships. Hey. And so here's the other one. So they also did a panel, and people asked them Q&A questions. This, of course, you can see Leslie's right there, and this is the other portion. I don't actually remember this one, because I wasn't there. So you can, of course, explain about it if you want. And then we did have food, because this entire conference, and it was really good because we had on-campus meals. People got to connect even more. Of course, Ben Sanders was really nice to actually take. He had a couple of reserves, and these are just photos of the professors that I got to meet. And yeah,
It was a free conference.
Yes, we actually tried. So we wanted to make it free for students, which was free for students and for adults. We charged a little bit for food, but the campus said no. So the campus gave us. So we made it free for everyone. So,
we had a long list of sponsors that helped support the conference. One of the neat things, I'm sorry I'm jumping in here, but there's some key points I think that maybe the chapters could take advantage of. The Veritas Forum that he mentioned occurred on Thursday night. Both events were co-publicized to both audiences. And then on Friday night, we had the kickoff for the COFAS.
Yeah.
And then the breakout sessions continued during Saturday. So it was kind of a 3-day event, really.
Yeah. And then, as you can see, the worship, we started out with worship. And then these are just, I think they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so we also invited them. So we're just showing, essentially, we're inviting a lot of people of faith or similar faith to the event to promote this. And it actually really, brought a lot of involvement. And as you can see, the person on the right is actually a professor who's from my church. And they're like, I didn't even know he was Christian. We went to the same church. And like,
wow.
I didn't even know he was a professor at the school. So just these are just some videos. And of course, and then, yeah, just because to show. And then we did get a lot of sponsors. And of course, from we got sponsors from these people, etc. So essentially, like, to get involvement from students, it's just like it's so hard on campus, especially ASU, because it's very secular. But I think if we do like passports and things like that, like you said, free food, then maybe it's possible. And I think people will
come.
Do you
have university on your campus?
I have no idea. We have so many things on my campus. So possibly, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's thank the panelists.
And are there any specific questions? I think we have 5 minutes before the next part starts. Charles.
I'm very intrigued by what ASU did, APU, I mean, because I think reaching out something that we probably should do more of, but you do bump into then the fact that there are different camps that people find themselves in, and I think it's good that IV, for example, here has these two different books where they actually present different models that people are looking at, and one of them even includes the so-called young earth model,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is very heavily reported by the ASA, but still a lot of churches are following that. And so how did you approach that? I mean, because you can't just say, oh, gee, BioLogos is everything, or, you know, RQB is everything, or for that matter, the Young Earth model.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of the ASA, too, is we've always been, from the beginning, this big tent, right? And, you know, we've got people. We do have people across the spectrum. And so I think the ASA is in a good position to help promote these kinds of things and do them through the local chapters. And, you know, I mean, again, one of our hallmarks, right, is to approach it with humility and respect for other positions.
Yeah, but I wanted to hear, as a question, how did you present that to ministers?
Well, I mean, because I know ASA is really good starting up front, saying, hey, we're all going to be talking and we're going to be, you know, congenial about doing. And so we had one of our professors, Jim White, who's actually attending this meeting too, get up and give a very nice 5-minute introduction that basically said, you know, you guys are from all different denominations, you're not all going to agree. And so we need to have this as a conversation. So we set it up similar to ASA, just saying we want to have a conversation, we're going to be congenial, we're going to listen to each other, we don't have to agree, kind of a thing. So we just kind of tried to set that tone ahead of time. I also knew that if something happened, I kind of thought ahead, how am I going to handle that, you know, and just say, okay, we'll discuss this later, you can meet with them during the break time or something like that.
Well, it sounds like a great thing a local chapter to do, but it also sounds like something that would be complicated.
It could be. I mean, you know, you just don't know who's going to be attending and who's going to have that edge to them or not have their edge, but again, we had a much smaller attendance, more than we, it was much smaller than we expected, so a lot of that didn't even show up.
So we kind of wanted to highlight the range of different kinds of things that different organizations have taken on. And you know, some of them are more ambitious than others. I mean, you know, again, the thing that we did at Azusa Pacific, the Science for Ministers, was kind of on the small scale end, but again, you know, with no budget, essentially, except for what, you know, the Christian Credit Union threw in and ASA threw in a little bit. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we had the COFAS at ASU that had all these sponsors, right? So, and was a bigger scale thing. So, we, like I said, we wanted to kind of highlight the range of things, and then we've got the Southern California Christian Day, Annual Day Conference that was kind of in the middle in terms of size and scope and budget. So these are great examples of what the local chapters could do, right? Yeah.
One of the common themes, and I quite understand it, has been how do you attract more students? And I know for the Hamilton local chapter in Ontario that meets at a secular university at McMaster, cons- consistently, we have a very tricky time. We get some students at every meeting, but then we get a different bunch at every meeting.
Yeah.
And again, there's a large student population, and if we get a half a dozen students, we're very happy.
Hmm.
But it seems to me that we should get more. So are there any tricks? Like, is there any?
Well, I think there are a lot of different approaches that have been taken, and if you guys want to spend a minute or two, you know, kind of sharing some of the things that you've done to try to bring more students. We heard about extra credit, for one thing, that different professors offer. I don't know if any of you guys have any other suggestions.
I mean, one thing with us is we get students, but how many actually transition into student members is probably very low. And we have had, even when we had the meetings at Azusa or Fuller, we have some more faculty who will offer students extra credits. We've had a large number of CBU students even go to some of those. Once again, that's the, you know, just give them extra credit for a physics class isn't going to transition them into a member. But then again, it's like how many are going to be long-term members anyhow. So, but we do have students coming out. I think for students, they see a value in it because their time they could do 100 other things on a Saturday, and to get students to come to a science conference on a day in the winter in Southern California is usually pretty nice outside, so it's not exactly a something we anticipate large numbers, but we're happy with the students we get. And I figure any introduction is better than nothing, so they just get a taste of it.
Well, and as you mentioned before, I mean, I don't remember who it was, but talking about the opportunity for students to present their own work in a non-threatening environment, whether it's a poster or even a talk, you can, you know, implement like a student track even at one of the regional conferences, and it's an opportunity again for them to kind of get their feet wet in this.
Yeah, we have students present on there. One thing we do is we have the talks, but then we'll have a poster session where students who are doing undergrad research can present on whatever. It doesn't even have to be anything related to science and faith. And it gives them an opportunity to engage with other faculty from other colleges and gives them something to put on their resume as well. So,
And just to clarify something that was mentioned earlier, the student members for a basic is gratis. There is a premier that she was talking about, which is a $20 fee, and that includes all of the additionals that come with a membership, such as the journal and so forth. So for those students that come to an event, they're automatically become students just by virtue of me taking that on after the event through that sign-up.
Derek.
Do you connect with CREW and InterVarsity and all those local campus groups to get them to promote your meetings as well, or have you had success?
Ours we have not, and that's one of our weaknesses. We don't have as much from the secular universities. Ours are mostly from the Christian college. We have about 7 or 8 Christian colleges in Southern Cal. 4 of us have been very active, and then several others we've had some people from, but they're not quite as active. But we've not done a good job in terms of reaching out to the UCs and the Cal States.
Yeah,
I've reached out to IVP and CREW, or not IVP, but InterVarsity and CREW. The response back from some of the local colleges was that we're just too darn busy to even think of, you know, either bringing you in to talk about the ASA or to, you know, get them involved. So,
and that was one of the really encouraging things about the ASU event, was to actually, instead of trying to bring the students from a secular campus to you, go to them, you know, and have a meeting like this on a secular campus. So we're actually going to be having some ongoing conversations with the organizers at Arizona State, as well as some of the sponsors, primarily at Fuller, about how we might be able to replicate that same type of thing at other secular campuses. So if you have an interest in possibly participating in something like that at a secular college near you, please let me know, because I'd love to add that to the list. So we're about out of time for the panel, so let's thank the panel. And then we'll transition into the workshop session of this meeting. So if you are interested in planning a new chapter or brainstorming ideas for your existing chapter, please stick around.